the honor code on Sundays. If you've not been able to make midweek services, you know, we're in a month of prayer and fasting. So every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we've been coming together 6:30 p.m. Now, every one of those days also, we send out a prayer focus for the day so that it will help us to put our minds in a particular direction. But the prayer focus is just for direction. That's not a limitation on its own. That's why a lot of times when we come together in the evenings, we seldom focus on the prayer focus that we've sent out during the day, because we come together and we just flow with the Spirit of God. Whatever direction it leads, that's what we do mostly when we come together. So we're going to continue this coming week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 6:30 p.m. And we're also taking a lot of time to look at God's Word to prepare our hearts to get ready for the coming year. Let me say something. Your revelation of God's Word will save you from deception. There's something about an understanding of God's Word that serves as a filter for dreams, visions, and revelations that will come. You will just know the one that is from God and the one that's not from God. You will not be afraid. You will not be tossed to and fro, because that revelation will be like a rock on your inside that steadies you. So you're consistently consistent. You're not afraid. Okay, because a lot of things are going to be tossed out, you know, online and in different spaces. It always happens whenever there's a major thing that God wants to unfold. So your only safeguard is the revelation of God's Word. Say amen. You know, Ephesians 6 then says that, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, that is in the power of his what? Might. You know, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. Okay, and having done not to stand, stand therefore, he begins to list what you are meant to put on. And the interesting thing in that list is that he lets you know every single thing in that list is the word of God. So put on simply means make sure this consciousness is steady. Have this steady consciousness. Let this be your constant consciousness all the time. And that's what it means by be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The power of his might is the breastplate of righteousness, is the helmet of salvation, is the girdle of truth, is your feet shall be preparation of gospel of peace, the sword of the spirit, the shield of faith. All those things are the power of his might that you are meant to be strong in. So to be strong here means that let it be your abiding consciousness. And that's what the revelation of God's word does for you. It actually ensures that you have a firm footing. You are not easily swayed or moved by false teachings. You recognize false teachings from afar. And when you are still having issues, I don't know whether it's God speaking to me or the devil. That's what God does. What does? Okay? Hallelujah. He's able to decipher, able to discern what is wrong and what is right. So that's why we're looking at God's word during the week also, and we're looking at realities of the kingdom. So if you've not been part of the meeting physically, I think they've uploaded already, isn't it? So at part 1 to 6 is already uploaded. Avail yourself of the teachings. It will really, really greatly bless you. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 3. We are undergoing a mind renewal process. And on the surface, that looks like something easy. Until you notice that there are certain ways of thinking that God's word is confronting in your life. We're all creatures of influence. That's where you grew up. That's how you grew up. There's a contribution, willing contribution and unwilling contribution of men. There's conscious influence. There's unconscious influence of men in your life. And that's contributed to your ideology, your personality, and how you see life today. But when we have an equal footing, is Christ. God has called us into Christ. It's like you're starting from nursery school, kindergarten. So you start learning how to speak. You start learning how to think. You start learning what works in God's kingdom and what doesn't work. So it's a relearning and an unlearning at the same time. And that's why it takes humility to submit to God's word. It takes humility to submit to God's word. That's why when the truth of God's word is going to be going forth, it's going to eat you in certain areas you may not like. How do you know you're really humble? I've said it many times. An humble person is not the one who goes around like this. That's a posture problem. Humility is of the heart. In God's kingdom, humility is your readiness to receive God's word above every other thought. Even the ones you thought were good, that's humility. Pride is believing that you're right and God's word can be wrong. That's pride. I knew you must have read that scripture before. Look at James 4. James 4, 7. That's not part of my text, but since the Spirit of God has brought that up, James 4, 7. 6, look at 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but what? Giveth grace unto the humble. Look at the next verse. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So many times you want to do verse 7 without doing verse 6. Okay? Now, verse 6 says, this is what God does. He gives more grace. Wherefore, this is what God says. God resists the proud. Now, again, if you come during the midweek, we've looked at the fact that the Bible is a book of literature. So, there's a lot of figures of speech. God resisting the proud simply means that the position of God's word and the power of God is in direct opposition to a proud person. Again, I've told you what God's definition of pride is. God's definition of pride is not the same as cultural pride. There's cultural pride. There's career pride. There's pride that comes from how you were born or the family you were born into. There's pride that comes out. But God's word, because every one of us comes into Christ, Christ is our melting pot. So when he speaks about pride here, he speaks about your attitude towards the revelation of Christ. That's what he's calling pride. So if you resist the teaching of God's word and you hide behind your personality, God sees you as proud. So God resists the proud. Does it mean God is actively resisting you? He's telling you his word is presented in such a way it will stand against your progress. His power will stand against your progress if you don't align with the truth. That's what the Bible is saying. Hallelujah. So he now says, submit yourselves therefore to God. And that can be the most difficult thing for a proud man. Submit yourselves therefore to God, then resist the devil. So you have to submit. Submit doesn't mean agreement. That means at the first instant God's word comes for you, you are not in agreement. You don't like how it sounds. It doesn't agree with your cultural sentiments. But it says submit yourselves therefore to God, then you can resist the devil. So to submit means you allow, you agree. I mean, not necessarily agree with what he's saying, but I know this is above me, so I submit myself. To submit means to be under authority. Hallelujah. And whenever the Bible is teaching this kind of principle, you will have more than one witness. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be what? Subject one to. So notice, in case you misunderstand what submission is, we are subject to what? One another. Say one another. Say one another. So there's submission to one another in the body. It's to one another. Okay? It says, now look at what is now calling submission, because you have to read contextually. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with what? Humility. So again, is that in agreement with what we just read in James? Is that in agreement? What did James say? God giveth more grace. Okay? He gives more grace, but he resists the proud. He gives more grace to the humble. In the same verse, it tells you what humility is to God. Humility is submitting. So when I submit to God's word, by submitting to you, I am called humble. I'm not called humble because I say I'm humble. If you have to tell us you are humble, you are not. Have you noticed that? If you have to say you are humble, for us to know you are humble, you are actually not. Humility is not just in words, it's in actions. So see what he's saying now. Look at how he defines it. Submit yourselves unto the other. Yeah, all of you be subject one to another. What does it mean to be subject? It means be clothed with what? Humility. Now, when you want to use the word clothed upon, it means put on. Be clothed with. And the only part of you that needs clothing. How many of you are dressed this morning? Don't answer. You already dressed. Okay, so the only part of you that is refined because using spirit language is your mind. Let your mind bend to God's will. Be clothed with humility, for God what? Resist the proud and give it. You will know. It's as though James and Peter have been consulting. They spend time together. Oh, they're using the same phrases. So he's telling you, God's word is in direct opposition to anyone who refuses to submit to it. Direct opposition to it. So he's not saying God will stand in your way when you are traveling. He will stand in your way when you are going. You say, you are the proud. I came to resist you. No. He's saying that his power and his word is diametrically opposed to anyone whose posture is different from what his word has taught. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. That has been our text. But if I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself where? In the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. No word in that verse is wasted. I told you, whenever you hear, this is Paul speaking, the same Paul wrote in chapter 6, we trust in the living God. Whenever you see him defined to God as a living God, he's not just making a distinction between God and other gods. Really, the emphasis is the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's saying everything we are saying to you is in the light of the resurrection of Jesus. So he is the living God. Say, Jesus is God. Say, Jesus is God. Okay. We'll look at that shortly. You'll see why honor is not an advice. Honor is an instruction in the scriptures concerning you, concerning me, for the power of God, for the dealings of God to flow freely among us. So it says there's a way to behave yourself. And we said last week that when you come to church, the Bible recognizes only three nations. There's the Jew, there's the Gentile, and there's the church of God. Say amen. So when it comes to the church of God, it's a ground and the pillar of truth. The word truth is what aletheia, reality. This is reality. Reality means anything outside of it is not. That's what it means. So reality means you are seeing well, you are thinking well, you are judging well. The reality is, if you think contrary to this, you are being deceived. That's what reality is. So he says it's the ground and the pillar of truth. So what you learn here, this is truth. You can't add anything to you, can't remove it. There's a way to behave. There's a way to behave. So that behavior is governed by the spirit of the house, which is the nature and the love of Christ. That's so important. There's a way to behave. So again, you don't come in and import your conduct. No, you come here and drop your conduct and pick up the conduct of Christ. Say amen. That's how to be when you come here. So when you're listening to the epistles instruct you in line with who you already are, not who God is going to make you. Romans chapter 12. I'm going over some ground we've covered, but I'm explaining it afresh and anew so that you'll get it. 1 verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren. Can you see the word beseech? By the mercies of God. Modern English, I'm begging you. I'm appealing to you. And I'm appealing to you based on the mercies of God which you have already enjoyed. It says, by the mercies of God, that you present what? Your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to pastor. In my version is different. Holy and acceptable to who? Okay, if you're following our series of teaching on service, how to serve God, in our morning devotions on the daily basis on WhatsApp, you will see that this is text is our main text, and it speaks about the fact that when you see people get offended with other believers in local assembly and they stop serving, they don't know the scripture. They don't know the scripture. It means you thought you were serving. Now, when you're going to serve God, they're going to serve men, but men is not who you are serving. You're actually serving Christ. When you don't understand that, when somebody offends you, the question, did Christ offend you? That's the question. So when you stop serving, you don't understand that you present your bodies unto God, a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice means that you do not take it back. You have given, it is there, you are alive, you feel the prayer, you feel the pain, you feel the offense, but you stay there because you have what to present now. This is something God doesn't do for you. You do it yourself. He calls it a sacrifice. It's an offering on your own behalf, on your part. You are the one that does it willingly. God doesn't do it for you. Hallelujah. And you follow the scriptures. That is part of your submission. So if you complain and you stop serving because somebody stepped on your toes, you are still a baby. When you come, if you take it to children's church, because you don't know the scripture, you don't understand who you're serving. You still think you're serving the head of department. That's a problem. Will you get offended? Oh, plenty. Why would the instructions be there that says, be kindly affectionate one to another, be tender at it, forgiving one another as God, for Christ's sake, at what? Forgiving you. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Why is he giving that instruction if you will not? You will be. So I early advise, quickly forgive now because the next one is coming. You know, if you waste much time with this one, you are delaying the other ones that will come. Because when you're exercising yourself in God's word, in the light of offense, you are growing spiritually. That's what you are doing. And like I said in our teaching of service, you will be rewarded by the Lord Jesus for good conduct. You will be rewarded. He will reward you personally for standing on his word, even in the face of offense. So, hallelujah. So he says, as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service or reasonable act of worship, and be not what? Conformed to this word, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and what? Perfect will of God. Can you see that? So, now, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is not three things. It's one thing. God's will is good. It's what? Acceptable. It is what? It's perfect. It's not three things. Say amen. Say amen. All right, good. That's important. God's will is good. It's acceptable. It is what? But it says you will prove. Look, what prove means to experiment, to uncover, to unfold, to put something to the proof. It's there. You will prove that this is God's will in your life. You will see that the nature within you will line up with this will of God for you. God's will is that you will never prove God's will fully until you present your body in service. And for you to do that, there are instructions to follow when it comes to you learning to honor brethren. It's so important. So, be not conformed to this world means that don't come to church with cultural bias. Don't carry career on your shoulders like a chip. Don't elevate your age above spiritual relationship. Those three things are required if you are going to honor. So don't come acting like you are God's big uncle. Don't come thinking I'm Yoruba and we don't do this. You won't be able to honor. There's a Jew, there's a Gentile, there's a church of God. If you are the church of God, you have no tribe, no race. The only tribe you belong to is Christ. Say amen. That's so important. Now someone says, are you not saying our culture does matter? It does. It has its place. If our culture doesn't matter, some of us will not do traditional marriage. It does. It has its place in the natural course of life. But it should never govern your activity as a believer. It should never govern. And some of us have never made the distinction. And that's a problem. It's going to affect your work with God. So you were raised by a man who was brash, who told you women are meant to be subjugated according to culture. Most African men do that. You were raised in another culture, let's say Western world, when you believe that a woman must have her say, and that's not wrong, as long as you don't go beyond the boundaries of the word of God. So there can be extreme on both sides. Where, as a woman, you are outspoken, and you blame it on where you grew up. You came from the UK, but you're actually a citizen of the kingdom. So, being raised in the UK, is that what really matters, or your citizen of the kingdom? Thank you. He says, don't be conformed to this. So the world already has a mold. It has a pattern that you will easily fall into if you do nothing to your mind. Just be born. go to school. You know, when I was interviewing for a job, I think it was 2001, I think. I was interviewing for a job at a human resource consulting firm. They asked me a question. I was really wondering, why are you asking, what kind of primary school do you go to? They asked for him, so I told them, okay, Polytechnic Staff School, Ibadan. My boss was an Igbo man. He said, which secondary school? I said, Government College. I said, he replied, Government College, Ibadan. And I said, which university? He said, University of Ibadan. He said, all you Ibadan boys. You didn't even live Ibadan all your days. Just stay in Ibadan. Stay in Ibadan. So we continued the interview and everything like that. So I did, of course, I did a written test and I passed the test. But I didn't score anything outstanding. If I remember, I think it was about 72. There are some people who had scored, according to those who were there before me, who told me later that some people scored 85, 90. I think I scored about 72 or so. But when it came to the interview session, the man interviewed me one-on-one, asked me some questions, I answered. When he finished, he just said that, my spirit says we should take you. As for some again, an employer said, my spirit says we should take you. So I joined the company. Later they told me that 8 months they've been looking for someone. People have passed the written test. But you are the first person that from interview stage, one-on-one, the man's heart connected with. I spent just about 1 year or so there. And before I left, it's not a boast, just a fact. I was more like their best facilitator. He said that, we didn't train you how to teach. You seem to come with it. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. I struggled for 3 months. Somebody says, why? I'm a Yoruba man. My boss was about 50-something years of age. And they told us to be calling him Undu. I'm like, which one is this again? So I say, sir, he will answer. So he noticed after I said that, oh, you Ibadan boys. This is a professional environment. It's a corporate setting. My name is Undu. I'm like, Chief Undu. That's a corporate environment. Now, this man was a Christian. So how did I get the right balance? I remembered he was a Christian. He was an elder. He and his wife was also pastor. So I used that edge to deliver myself. Now, you can have how you were brought. Okay, what I wanted to bring up was that I got to learn that the kind of school you go to greatly affects the kind of people you will meet in life. The kind of people you fraternize with. So he told me that they usually target young men that go to certain schools where maybe their families are middle to high income families, because they are the ones who usually become, you know, this is human permutation combination. You know, you can rise from grace to grass. And even the grass is man's definition. I hope you know. Yeah, I hope you know. I hope you know Jesus was not high born. Or you don't know. Jesus was not high born. Say amen. Amen. But he was born high. He was not high born. Thank God they traced his lineage to that of David. But he was not really as in. He was ordinary. A carpenter is ordinary. So don't have things that are not in the Bible. Isaiah told us, he has no form nor comeliness. So when you are singing, I've seen Jesus, my darling Jesus, he's so handsome, more than any man. It's a lie. It's a lie. You are lying. You are lying. And you are singing that beside your husband. Imagine. You are committing sin. When you see, if you were with Peter, he wasn't more handsome. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Isaiah 53, verse 2. He was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Yet he was bruised for iniquities. Hallelujah. He has no form. So, you know, if you are God, which you are not, thank God, and wanted to come, you think you will come without form? When there's a physique like an Osasuga, why would I come flat chested? You have been celebrating 6 pack. It's 8 packs. If I can do 12, I'll do 12. Everywhere pack. After all, I'm God. I can choose the body. He came in a way that human expectations would be offended. It was deliberate. It was deliberately done. It came in a way that when he was born, except you were supernaturally informed, you would not know he has been born. And he is the message of all the prophets. Imagine the reason for Moses is born and nobody knows. I mean, the way some of us were born, the whole area shook the party. They were shaking. Everybody, they have it. That's how. So when he was born, God had to announce to some wise men through the stars. He had to go to lowly shepherds. And what do you think he's trying to communicate? That God's wisdom is opposed to the wisdom of this world. That's what he's trying to say to you. So when you lean on this world's wisdom, you are going to fall short of God's plan and purpose for you. In this world, nobility matters. In this world, your career matters. In this world, how you were born matters. In this world, people you fraternize seems to matter in this world. But this world is a passing fancy. God's kingdom is eternal. So whatever will be shaken will be shaken, but the things which cannot be shaken will remain. That's what the Bible teaches. So you have to be careful that you are not so conformed you are finding difficult to walk in God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Romans chapter 12. Thank you for that scripture. Romans chapter 12. We'll come back to Jesus shortly. Verse 3. See what it says. It says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is where among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think what? Soberly, as God has dealt to," say, "God has dealt to me the measure of faith." God has dealt to you the measure of faith. My sobriety is based on God's dealings. Oh, will you say that again? My sobriety is based on God's dealings. That's so important. So the way I relate, my way of thinking is controlled by God's word. That's what he's saying. My sobriety is based on God's dealings. So see what it says next verse. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." Yeah. "So we being many are one body, we're in Christ. And everyone what? Members one of another." Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul uses a physical illustration. We're not going to go to it because of our time. He uses a physical illustration to illustrate how the body functions, but you cannot take that illustration too far. It's a figure of speech. But here's one of the things that you can get from it. If you look at the physical body, you should not, though you likely will, treat more parts of your body with more honor, dignity than the other. And it tells you the part of your body that we cannot see carry a greater function. You can't see your heart, but you will see it when we take it away. You will know that it's important. So you know, you just jump up from there and you're just walking up and down because there's an organ inside pumping blood which you cannot see. So you shouldn't be doing, they remove it, that you now realize that you are Mr. Important. You understand that? So it says we are members one of another. So your mindset is this. How do you think soberly? We are members one of what? Another. Listen, it's not you went to school and you didn't go to school that causes us to relate. It's the blood that washed us that causes us to relate. We are now family. So my greeting you, listen, must not be less honorable than the way I would greet somebody who has a social standing and who is a Christian also. You are a believer, you are a believer, I greet you how? The same way. Now, the only difference will be if I'm more familiar with you than with you, they'll be more cordial. But my greeting should never be based on, as a commissioner for works announcing Lagos State, Baba, sir. You know, and you are greeting from afar. We are greeting you, sir. I'm greeting you, sir. Sir, I'm greeting. You didn't hear, I'm greeting. But you know when you come to church, I greeted you, sir. Me, I greeted you, sir. If you didn't hear, you didn't hear. That's your business. But the other man, the way you're greeting, sir, I'm greeting. Sir, I'm here, sir. I'm still greeting. You make the extra effort. So you are considering earthly things. And it's controlling your actions. See what it says in verse 9. Verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Dissimulation is hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. Above that, which is one, is it, you know, you follow the way Pastor Lou exhorts us or teaches us. He will tell you, stay within context. What will be evil now is the same verse. Is hypocrisy. It, dislike what is evil.
What's hypocrisy? Ah. Me, I'm looking at this sister, at least. Her income being in six figures. But this other brother, when I asked me for money yesterday. So the way you greet this one is, ask more honor than you greet this one. What are you using? Natural parameters. Are you already in error? That's how pride creeps in. That's how hypocrisy creeps in. You're not loving the light of the body. So you are looking down on this one because of the way the person is dressed. The only time we ever use dressing in noble house as a criteria for where people will sit is if we see a lady dressing a little bit decently. And I use the word a little bit decent because some of those ladies, when you go and talk to them, you will not be quick to condemn. Are you aware some people, when they get saved, their mind is not really not to know what to wear and what to wear? I hope you know. And if you go and talk to some people, they don't even have any other thing in their wardrobe except what you are saying. So you have a choice. Your reputation or they serve Christ. Choose one. Did you hear what I said? Your reputation. I don't want them to see this kind of person come to our church. How can somebody dress like this? Say we are not serious in church. So you are now concerned about your reputation. Jesus considered his reputation when he was dying. They put him between two malefactors, two people that are terrible. And they gave him the same honor that they gave them. You know what they mean? This is a criminal. Everybody knows. This is a criminal. Everybody knows. They have to give us in the middle. Chief criminal. That's what he did. That is what he did to pay the price for us. He was not a criminal, but he identified with criminals so that you will not be a criminal today. If you were thinking about reputation, son of God, this one has. Okay, you only killed five people. This one killed 17. And then you are in the middle. And when the middle is the focal point. So everybody's like asking, how many have you killed, bros? You must have tried. But he came to save all. And was in the middle. So if you're too concerned about your reputation, these are people, like who just got saved. They don't have any, they will learn. So lest you focus on them, we tell the ushers, put them in a place where they won't cause too much what? Attention. But we will never cause, his brother is dressing. So don't put him near the front door. Don't let everybody see. Don't let camera capture him. No. Let the camera capture. It's not the dressing on the outside that makes the man. It is the dressing on the inside. That's who you are in Christ. Say amen. We must be careful. This is not a lecture theater. This is the church of the living God. So the way you relate must be basically upon God's word. See what this is again. Let not be without hypocrisy. Upon what is hypocrisy to what is good. Next verse. Be kindly what? Affection one to another. With what? Brotherly love. Again, brotherly love means that we come from the same womb. There's no schism. There's no difference between us. We come from the same womb. I appreciate the womb we came from. I honor the womb we came from. Jesus has placed his honor on every believer. I relate with you in honor. I see what Christ did for you. I am in ministry because of what Christ did for you. I begin to see you with his eyes. I love you with his love. He respects and honors you. I have to respect and what? Honor you with the honor of Jesus. That is how to treat believers. That's how to treat believers. Anything less is contrary to God's word. Be kindly affectionate. Imagine he's writing to believers. Be kindly affectionate. So some believers are not kind in their conduct. They are not kind. They wear long faces. They make unkind comments. They speak wrong words that will not edify or bless anyone. They are insulting to fellow believers. And this, be kindly affectionate one to another. That's what it says. Okay, in honor, preferring what? One another. Look at Matthew 20. Matthew 20. Let me look for that verse. I think verse where Jesus was teaching them about whoever will be great among you. Two of the disciples came to Jesus and they came with their mother, political manipulation. You came to Jesus with your mother. If he doesn't listen to us, he will listen to this woman. See, the woman also came, greeted Jesus courteously. Lord Jesus, thank you for picking my sons. Your ministry is flourishing. I can see you go far. I have only one request. Will you grant me this request? Very political. What's the request? Very simple request. It's not something that's difficult to, only if you agree. So he says that, so you see the word worship, and it's about to manipulate. You understand? I want just two positions. Your right hand, your left hand. In your kingdom. for my sons. So she's securing their future. And you see the way of the world. That's what she's doing. Manipulation. So Jesus also played along. What do you want? Grant that these two of my sons, the one on right, the one on the other, in your kingdom, next verse. You know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I shall drink? He was like, able to get in that place. The cup I'm about to drink is very bitter. We're able to drink it. He said, but that's not even the issue right now. So they said unto him, we are able. They've not entered anything. These people that are saying we are able, when they took Jesus, they were nowhere to be found. They vanished. They disappeared. He said, we are able. Nothing is too big. We are here for you. He wants it on right hand and left hand. They disappeared when they got Jesus. They didn't know that's a cup Jesus was referring to. Is this a cup? When they're taking him. Next verse. Say, you shall drink indeed of the cup, be baptized by the Spirit, but to sit on my right hand or my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Next verse. And when the ten had it, they were moved with what? So the other one went, hey, he's even going behind our back. So you are more important than the rest of us. And then issue started among the brethren. Next verse. Jesus called them and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise what? Dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority. Now, they that are great Gentiles is teaching you the way of the world. So if I'm superior to you, corporate environment means that I do eye service. I say, sir, sir, sir. But like if you're in charge of my promotion, that's corporate environment. So I show you I'm boss. By giving you queries, by sending you an errands, by people just like. But Jesus now says that's the way of the world kingdom. That's not the way of God's kingdom. Now, how does God's kingdom operate? Look at next verse. It says, but it shall not be so where among you. But whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister. So, what does it mean to be a leader? It means you set the example for serving others. You are the chief servant. You are not the one that sits down and sends others on errand. There's a time for that. There's a place for that. And that time and place is when you have set the example of leadership. That's the way it works. When we started church, it wasn't deliberate. It was just an oversight on the part of those who first joined church. 2008, we started some months after. Till 2009, I was the one sweeping church. Nobody knew until they caught me one day. Why should sweeping church be a big deal? Okay, if you sweep church, who's coming to sit in church? You, another saint. So who are you serving? Who are you serving? Who are you serving? You're serving the saints. So we didn't make provision for anybody to do it until the day they were. Because it was a new church. It was just an over. Nobody just thought about it. So everybody comes on Sunday and then we try to clean on Sunday. But during the week, I'll come and just sweep the place and clean the place. Because it's normal. Who are you serving? It's the saints. You're serving the saints. And it's an honor to serve the saints. It should always be an honor in your heart. It should be something that's not like you start feeling like you are doing somebody a big favor. No. It is wrong. I consider it a great privilege to always stand to teach God's word. Not as Lord over God's brethren, but as an example to the flock. That's what the Bible teaches. So Jesus says, anyone who will be great among you, let him be your what? Minister. Who was the chief minister among them at that time? Christ. So he set the example. And he set in such a way that he went as far as the cross. Set the example. To say only one thing. I honor you. I honor you. Because of the price he paid, he still called Peter back. Peter, I honor you. I gave him the assignment. So when he says, in honor preparing one another, there is a way I relate with you. There's a way I talk to you. There's a way I greet you with the honor of Christ. It's more than cultural honor. My culture, even till now, when I see my pastor, because I don't just see him as my pastor, I still prostrate. I still do. My mom, I prostrate. That's how I was raised. When I see older people, I do the same thing. That's how I was raised. It's fine. It's good. But beyond that also, there's the honor that you have in Christ. That belongs to every single believer. Let me say something. The offense that came into people's hearts through the ministry of Jesus is the very reason why God instituted honor in the church. The humanity of Jesus was the offense
that made the Pharisees reject him. How can this be God? That's the problem. And that's exactly why you need to learn to honor. So I look at you, Sister Kate. When did you finish? Oh, yeah, finished school last year. It's serious. So you have started. And now, the person that finished school last year is your leader in church. Spiritually more mature than you are. Spiritually meant to minister to you. You are calculating. How many years is this marriage? Am I just married 3 years ago? I said, it's serious. So, are we mates in spiritual service? Is it your problem? So when they told Jesus in his hometown, and Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, except among his own what? People. So his own people could not look beyond his humanity, and this was God standing in front of them. Not in the form that they liked, but it was still God. It was in the world. The world was over him. He came to his own. His own received him not. Why? He didn't come the way they thought he would come. And that's the offense that's there. So, your humanity, don't let the humanity of believers get in the way of you honoring fellow believers. Don't do that. Don't you do that. That's not the mind of Christ. That's why you need a new orientation about believers that sit beside you. There's a way to always treat them. There's a way to always carry yourself around them. Hallelujah. It's so important. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. I'm reading from verse 17. I'm going to read quickly because of time, but I trust you get this. We've been looking at this during the week, but I think I need to apply it here because it's important that I apply it here also. Verse 17. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of what? No effect. Now, the Corinthian church were a marvelous church. Nobody excelled in walking in the flesh like the Corinthian family. There's nothing in the flesh I did not do. Plus the kind of things you can think of and things you cannot think of. They excelled at it. So there was envy, bitterness, strife among them. So Paul is writing a letter in response by the Spirit of God. So what does he say in the next verse? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is what? The power of God. Next verse. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now the wise says the wise of this world, the prudent of this world, not the prudent in God now. It says, it's next verse, it says, for where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the spirit of this world? Has not God made what? Foolish the wisdom of this world. Say there's a wisdom of this world. Say there's a wisdom of this world. Listen. You need to understand what I'm teaching you. I didn't say get to the office and give your boss high five. They will high five you out of the organization. Mm-mm. I'm talking about kingdom practice. Know your limitations and your boundaries. Your boss at work is work. Work is different from church. Say amen. And so understand the difference. Now, the structure of this world, corporate, is structured on the wisdom of this world. It's different from what we do here. Hallelujah. That's why even in your workplace, the way you treat believers at work should be different to the way you treat unbelievers. You should always give believers preference. You must give believers preference. Because being in Christ makes them special and different. So, see what it says next. Quickly. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. He pleased God by the foolishness of one preaching to save them that believe. That's a figure of speech. Next verse. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews what? A stumbling block. And unto the Greeks what? Foolishness. You know, one of the things that Jesus encountered in his earthly ministry was people, the Jews always asking him, if you are really who you say you are, show us a sign. And show us a sign means that follow the wisdom of this world, follow our expectation, meet our demands, do something strange. And Jesus will answer, there shall no sign be given to this adulterous generation, save the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonah was 3 days inside the whale, so shall the Son of Man be where? 3 days in the belly of the earth. That is contrary to the wisdom of this world. What will be their own wisdom? Show us a sign. Command fire to come from heaven. Look at those Roman oppressors.
call fire now. If fire can burn them, you are of God. In fact, you are God, the God of Elijah. What was Jesus' sign? No sign will be given except that of the prophet Jonah. So he's telling you, Jonah's in the belly of the whale is a sign. So the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth. So all that experiment of Jonah being inside the belly of the whale is to signify what? Jesus will be in hell for how many days? So if you go with Jonah's story, you have lost the whole thing. Because Jonah's story only means what? Only makes sense is what? Jesus will be in the belly of that for 3 days. You know, because I think I wasn't during the week, I was saying to people that they did an experiment to disprove Jonah being the belly, whale's belly. He said, they discovered that it's not scientifically possible that a man can survive in the belly of the whale even for 1 day, much less 3 days. The acidic content of a whale's stomach will not permit a man to. We're talking about the power of God. We're talking about wisdom of men. How does it mix? Jonah was supernaturally kept. In fact, let me tell you what happened. Jonah in Bill's whale's belly was meant to signify one thing: death. The day the whale vomited on the earth, resurrection. Period. Do you understand? Then you're thinking, so Jonah, what were you eating? So Jonah, what? That's not, you have missed it, sorry. You are thinking belly, whale, water. No. As the Son of Man was in the belly of the earth for how many days? 3 days. I mean, as Jonah was there for 3 days, so also the Son of Man. So it's about Christ. Say amen. That's what it's about. Don't get it. Now, so they were asking for a way according to their own natural wisdom. And look at God's, look at how God operates. Go back to that 1 Corinthians, please. Thank you. 1 Corinthians. Now, because the foolishness, let me ask you, is God foolish? You can't even save your mouth enough from it. Is God foolish? So if the Bible uses the foolishness of God, is that figure of speech or not? Figure of speech, thank you. So actually when it says the foolishness of God, which is how men view God and the things of God. So the foolishness is actually where? Inside of men. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness, that's what men God weaks come, which weakness is God's strength. Look at the next verse. This is where we're going. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men, he didn't say not any, say not many. Not many. Many. Not, he didn't say not any, not many wise men after the flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. Next verse. Don't miss this figure or speech. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. So the person is referring to here is foolish in the sight of the world. What is it calling foolish? How can you just say that you believe in one man who died and was there for 3 days and not day he rose again, and if you confess him, you'll be saved? Is that not foolish? It is foolish to the intellect of men, but this is the wisdom of God and the power of God. So you that believe in it, the world will call you what? Foolish. How does God see you? Wise. Can you see the difference now? So, for you see your calling. So, see how you were called. What was God's criteria for calling you to Christ? It was not natural criteria. It's not because you were high born. God doesn't follow the criteria that men have set. So, men have natural criteria. You are a professor of philosophy, University of Massachusetts. You have a big title for knowing nothing. I'm sorry, but that's true. You know, they have discovered that a professor is somebody who knows a lot about something small. A professor of biology, let me tell you what he knows. He has specialization. So he may be into genetics. Then within genetics, there is a particular area because genetics is wide. So by the time we dissect what you are a professor of, it's something small in a very wide field that they gave you certificate. That's what it is. We now present Christ to you. Said, did you go to school? Is this possible? Why are you thinking like this? You should be smarter than this. He calls it the foolishness of God. That's wiser than men. You see your calling, how that not many noble, not many mighty are called. But God has chosen what? The foolishness of this world. Does that mean you are foolish or you are wise? Are you foolish or wise? But how does the world see you? Thank you. So, but God has chosen the foolish things to confound, to disappoint the wise. He has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are mighty. Look at next verse. quickly, and basing of this world and things which are despised. So the things that the world does not have regard for, yeah, those are things God has chosen, and things which are nothing to bring to what? Nothing things are hard. Look at the next verse. That no flesh should glory where? In his presence. Next verse. But of him are you where? In Christ Jesus. Who of God is made unto us what? Say, Christ is my wisdom. Christ is my righteousness. He is my sanctification. He is my redemption. So Christ is my new way of thinking. He is my ideology. Christ is my lenses through which I view you now. Christ has made unto me wisdom. He is my sanctification, separation from the world. He is my righteousness. He has been made of God that way to me. So that one scripture can be fulfilled. Look at the scripture that is about to fulfill. Look at next verse, verse 31. That according as it is written, he that what? Glories. That's what boast. Let him boast where? In the Lord. Glory to God. When you come to church, you don't boast in our cars you have. You don't boast in the houses you have built. We don't come here and start talking high sounding nonsense. I was in China last week. I attended the multicultural conference, and we are planning. Those are good for business environments. Don't bring that here. When we are here, we're the same. Say amen. We're the same. I don't exalt one person above the other. We're all believers. The same blood, the same spirit, the same life, the same grace, the same standing. I honor you in Christ Jesus. If you learn this principle, a lot of bickering, a lot of bitterness, you know, a lot of, you know, animosity. I don't understand how. Again, let me say it again. I don't understand how, if you're sincere with yourself, you claim to be a believer, who is in living fellowship with the Lord Jesus, and you carry bitterness in your heart against a fellow believer in the same assembly, and you are telling me you are praying. What prayer are you praying? You've not gone to that person. You know, and some believers say, the person even made overtures towards you, and you flatly refused. Something is wrong with you. Spiritually, you are not healthy at all. You are not well. How can you? I can't even sleep one night. So it's obvious you are not praying. Or you just pray enough to just get by. You know when I get by? Amen. We have come again. We have come again. Father, we have come. No him, no Sam, nothing. How will he come when your heart is hard? The brother is greeting you. You heard, you ignored. And your heart doesn't smite you. This thing that we call spirit, when he convicts you, you better be glad. It means you are still healthy. When you're no longer, when you feel good doing bad things, I don't know the definition. You feel good and you're comfortable with strife. In the, I will show him. Something's wrong with you spiritually. And it affects many other things. Where there's envy and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. James 3. Every evil work. A sound believer who is in fellowship should ensure consistently you purge yourself of all things like that. The same person you see in church, they greet you and how many they greet you? You can't open your mouth to talk. That's why I said that. Listen. Part of our love work and honor is, may you be delivered from all these things like, if I don't greet you, so you won't greet me. No. If you didn't greet me, maybe you didn't see me. So I mean, I will greet you. Get away from this carnal thing about, I will see if you greet me first. These two things, they don't help your faith. I'm just, they don't help your faith. And allow me to say this. This thing is more common among women. Women have issues. What my eyes have seen. I don't understand. What my eyes have seen. I mean, I've seen so sisters. in this church. I was on the road and they were passing by each other and they deliberately ignored. I saw it. I just smiled. And I'm like, I don't understand. Except something is going on. Brothers will call each other. They will come. Brothers may have issues, not those kind of issues. Not greeting. How? I'm saying. He's not saying all those kind of things they don't even like. He's, you know, you see, all those emojis you see on chat, listen, they formed because of women. Eyes ruling. Okay, it's women that taught us those things. They are the ones who know how to do all those. Plus, the ones they've created are the ones that are yet to be created. Looks are yet to be created. That when they roll their eyes up and down, they spoke in volumes. It's women. Now, in honor, preferring what? One another. Tell your neighbor, say, I honor you. I love you in Christ. I have great respect for you because of the blood. Not because the person is older. It's good to respect older people. If you are well brought up. You see, the other one, the other cultural distinct, it's not a function of your home training. If you are older, you cannot greet. You just lack home training. That's it. And some, they give them, they rejected the training. That's just that one doesn't. They just rejected the training. I don't see how you can be passing by somebody who's on and then you are waiting for no. That's why leave all those things about there. I've been married for 5 years. You were married last week. Leave all those things. We don't need those things. There's no reward for getting married in heaven. There's no, I don't understand. They don't leave all those kind of things when you are now looking at him because when did you have? Did we not attend? We had your eyes. We were there. As if that makes your marriage better than the other person. No, it doesn't. Some marry after you, they know more than you when it comes to marriage. So why bring in those kind of things? I work in Shell, you work in Mobil filling station. You're just being Kana. That's what you're just being Kana. Therefore, I'm higher than you. Higher than who? You're just being Kana. So, Mobil, that will not make heaven. Shell, that will not see kingdom. That will perish on this earth. You are talking to a brother who can spiritually edify and bless you and saying, I work in Shell. You are a petrol attendant. Therefore, I have a difficult time understanding why people relegate certain jobs. African cultures can be very bad. A job that is honest, you are not praising a Yahoo boy. Something's wrong with you. Someone is doing honest work. This is a petrol attendant. Is Yahoo boy you are chasing? They will catch you. Who should you despise? You see how they pass something across you that's not right. Somebody is doing honest, labor, honest work. Somebody is driving in a stolen car. Oh, you know he's not stolen. He's stolen. It's not that he didn't use a gun to go and collect it. He's still stolen. Rewards of iniquity. That's what you used to buy it. And you were elevating that person above because of our slant in Africa of gravitating towards material things. The same person that is condemning somebody who's working with him, he can go and be attendant. Train attendant in US or UK. He will not call it anything. Because over there, work is what? Work. Nobody makes fun of a honest job. Nobody does. It's only this Africa. This Africa. May God help us. Amen. That you can work job as someone anything. When just let them leave the country, you see their mindsets are changing. By the time you wear braids for 7 months, your head will be correct. You know, work is work. Just do something honest, a honest living. And stop using the world standard. Otherwise, you'll be misled. Hallelujah. So let's honor one another based on our reputation in Christ. Please get away. And you see, the days that are ahead, you will value the things I'm teaching you. You do not know what I'm doing now. I've seen ahead. I've said it in one or two posts. I've seen ahead. A purging is going on.
It's going to get better. It's going to get more serious. The things you believe, I'm begging you to hold on to it. After a while, some people, they will not know right from wrong again with the kind of pollution that will be spread when it comes to doctrine. I'm teaching you what is right now, trusting God for you to be kept strong and preserved from all evil and from all contamination. You will realize as time goes on that this mindset, okay, I think one of one of my friends in ministry, Pastor, he did a lengthy series on brotherhood. Things like that are never accidental. It's an instruction. It doesn't need to come to you and tell you, Lord Jesus appeared to me and told me, you know what? I want, you know, it won't come and tell you that. But those things are by direct instruction given to certain people. See, something's going to happen in the body shortly. Communicate this thing now. Lengthy teaching because of certain erroneous extremes that have come in that will stop a number of things that God wants to do. So you need to understand how God works. You need to and be ready and align yourself. Don't resist this message. Practice not tomorrow, today, before you leave church today. Anybody you are not greeting, go and greet them. Say, I love you, love of Christ. You did, Pastor Debu, announced that in the gathering. You know, read him. Say, tell everybody, tell your neighbor, I love you, we love of Christ. Oh, he said, he heard all kinds of things. I love you, little guy, foolish fellow. He heard all kinds of things because people are not used to expressing love when it comes to. They are still in their natural state, their natural way of thinking, cultural barriers, and career. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many noble, not many mighty. Hallelujah. Our calling in Christ is a humble one. It's a humble one. Tell your neighbor, be humble. It doesn't mean wear short sleeve and carry Bible on your shoulder. Be humble means after this service, go and greet somebody and be kind. Be nice. If you helped anyone, don't go around blowing your trumpet about it. You helped somebody in Christ. Jesus said, he will tell you that whatever you do to them, be did to me. You should look at the opportunity to be a blessing. You should be glad you are a child of blessing. You shouldn't try to use that to subjugate others or to dominate them. No, it shouldn't be an avenue for manipulation. You have to be careful with these truths. So honor is very important. Very important. At this time, in our walk with God as a church, as a people, we need to recognize it because the fullness of the operations of God's Spirit will not come to light until we make some of these adjustments. We've seen some things, but we're going to see much more in the days ahead when it comes to power of God. January meeting will be different. January Holy Ghost meeting will be very different. Next month, we're going to start having, likely, except God says otherwise, believers' meetings. Start teaching, getting our hearts ready. But you see, some of those things matter. If I come to minister to you and you honor me, you will receive more of God's grace through me. But if you stand against me in your mind and you despise me, and how do people do that? As you are coming, you might thinking, hey, this one too wants to lay hands. Imagine. This one. You are letting humanity get in your way of receiving spiritual. You think anyone that God calls is perfect? You know, it is the gift that is perfect. And the grace that is perfect. The vessels are not. And that is still God's wisdom. That the excellency of the power may be seen to be of God and not of men. That's how it is like that. So if you are not spiritually sound, the veil of the flesh, like it did in the days of Jesus, will offend you. And that's what who God wants to send you to come and tell you something. I heard a man of God said that in a meeting, he was a teenager. He was still a teenager. When he said in the meeting to an older lady, he said that, fast for the next 1 week. He didn't give details. Ladies fasted. How does the Spirit of God speak? You have to honor the messenger. So you can receive the message. First for the next few days. The person just like, secondary school boys. You are the first person. Because the person I was talking to was a teenager. But there was one minister in that meeting. He said, fast for the next few days. This young lady, this older person, when you go and fast. And that's how God saved her from being poisoned. She was going for a function the next day and he planned to poison her.
and they put it in her food. But because she was fasting, she couldn't take it. Did God tell her, hey, you see, no, for the next 3 days, don't eat. Because they are planning to, he won't tell you. He will just give you an instruction that you will need faith to respond to. So if you like food too much, and you are telling God, you should have sent an angel that will appear in white and just say that, my daughter, my daughter, my daughter. I'm from the Most High. We have seen the enemy's plans. They want to finish you, but God will not finish you. No. It will be from someone. Christ is living in that person. Christ is living in her. Christ is living in her. Christ can speak to me through her. So I must learn to honor the Christ in her by honoring her. That's the way it works. If I despise her, Christ is still living in her, but the Christ in her can't reach me. Because dishonor stifles the flow of God's power. Glory to God. You know, this teaching can have to more than one side. I'm going to stop now. I've gone longer than I plan to go. And that's one reason we advise ministers, please, whatever you do, don't put a stumbling block in the path of people. Don't be somebody who is given to lying, given to deceiving. Don't be a snob. Don't be somebody who is given to fits of anger. So that people that want to receive the grace of God through you won't see all that and be affected. So it's important to live life. You're a minister, it's important. But at the same time, you that you are going to receive also, learn to look beyond the humanity of the individuals. See Christ in them so that you can be blessed. Say honor. Say honor all men. Honor all saints. Have love towards the brethren. Lift your hands and thank him this morning.